for those that serve in our society in a public way that take an oath, either to protect life, to uphold honor and dignity in the particular service that they are performing. And in accordance with our law, they are to be held to a higher standard. And there would be some that would look at that and say, well, why is one person held to a higher standard than someone else? Why would that take place? And we think about the effects that come from those that serve in society that do not hold honor and ethics and morality as sacred. And you think about all the harm that can be done, not only to society, but also to individuals. And there you, I believe, have the answer to the reason that there are those that are held to a higher standard. And rightfully so. There are those that are held to a higher standard that are the Lord's people. And I want us to consider that, first of all, from the standpoint, this congregation have elders that oversee and shepherd this flock. And brethren, you are held to a higher standard. You go back and you look at Acts the 20th chapter and verse 28. And I want you to notice some points that are made here just in this opening statement as Paul is at Miletus, a little seashore town outside of Ephesus, and has called the Ephesian elders to him as he is returning back to Jerusalem after his third preaching tour. And he says there in Acts 20, chapter verse 28, here's the first thing he says, pay careful attention to yourselves. Pay careful attention to yourselves. That the statement that is made there by Luke as he is recording the words that Paul is speaking to those elders really cry out to this very point that we're making today, and that is being held to a higher standard. Pay careful attention to yourselves. And I think so often there are those who get caught up in situations and conditions and positions and places and so forth that forget about themselves. But Paul is trying to bring them back to that thought process of, number one, start where it starts with your leadership. And your leadership starts with yourself. Pay attention to yourself. And then he puts it in perspective here, and to all the flock, that is all the Christians in the congregation where you are at, and here's the reason why, in which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers. And when we think about being held to a higher standard, the elders that serve among us were recognized by this congregation. But they were recognized because of that inherent in their life, that spiritual inherent aspects in their life, qualifications we call them quite often, that was recognized by each and every one of us, but given by the Holy Spirit. And you think about that, you understand why elders are held to a higher standard than the rest of us because of that leadership situation. And then not only that, but also here in Acts 20 the chapter, not only were they chosen by the qualifications that were given by God the Spirit, recognized by this congregation, he says, care for the church of God, which Jesus purchased with his own blood. And there you have another reason then why elders are held to a higher standard. They are overseeing a group, a flock of God's people in their local area that Christ Jesus died on the cross to purchase as his own. And elders are held to that higher standard. Consider with me just some other thoughts about elders since they are held to a higher standard. And I think it is appropriate and it is prudent for elders to reflect upon their work and the recognition of this congregation of them in connection with their work, consider some other thoughts with me about them. 1 Peter, the 5th chapter, verses 1 through 4. 1 Peter 5, verses 1 through 4. In verse 2 especially, Peter says there, shepherd the flock that is among you. And that doesn't mean drive them here and there, but what that means is to nurture and to care for them. To nurture and to care for them. And then when we come down to verse 3, it says, be examples to the flock. And here you have that standard that is held higher in connection with elders than with the rest of us, those of us that are not elders. He says, be examples to the flock. With that thought in mind, every word that you elders say, every activity that you engage in, everything that you decide to do, the way that you present yourself, every aspect of yourself is an example to this congregation. You are held to a higher standard, and rightfully so. And I ask you, whenever you think about this, will you do exactly what was stated as we read in Acts 20, chapter verse 28? Will you pay careful attention to yourself? When you say things before this congregation, will you weigh the words that you use? Will you taste the words that you use? We'll talk a little bit more about this as we go down through the lesson. And will you ask yourself, if somebody else in this congregation that was not an elder stood up and made that statement, would I be pleased with it? Is it showing forth really the proper aspect of being an example to the flock in the way that I conduct myself? When we look in 1 Timothy 3, verses 1 through 7, in connection with the qualifications that are given here concerning elders. First of all, we find out in verse 2, and I'm going to read those that I have listed here for a specific purpose. I know I'm not going to touch on every one, and I will explain why whenever I get through with the reading of them. In verse 2, it says that an elder is to be temperate. That is to be dispassionate. That is to be calm and collected. It comes from the Greek word nepho, one that is calm and collected. It is also said not only of elders, but it is also said of deacons' wives in 1 Timothy 3 and verse 11. And it is also said of older men in Titus 2 and verse 2. That they are to be calm and collected. They are also, in verse 2, to be sober-minded. That is, in one's senses, they curb their own desires and impulses. They are controlled. It is also said of older men that they are to be that way in Titus 2 and verse 2, and younger women in Titus 2 and verse 5. Also in verse 2 of 1 Timothy 3, it says that they are to be well behaved. That means to be orderly. It is also said of women in 1 Timothy 2 and verse 9 that they are to be of the same character, well behaved. And wherever I think about this from an application standpoint, I think about that thought of tasting of words. And I go back to Colossians, the 4th chapter, verse 5 through 6. Walk in wisdom toward outsiders, making the best use of your time. Let your speech always be gracious, seasoned with salt, so that you may know how you ought to answer each person. Are the words that we speak, and the words that you elders speak, do they draw people into Christ Jesus, or do they turn them away? Also there in 1 Timothy 3 and verse 2, it says to be hospitable. That is, generous to guests. And all Christians are called upon to do that when we look in 1 Peter 4 and verse 9. We see for the elders in 1 Timothy 3 and verse 2 that they are to be skillful at teaching or apt to teach. This involves some aspects to which you are held to a higher standard. You are to be prepared When I think back to the statement that is made in Luke, the first chapter, in verse 17, it says, in prophecy of the coming of Messiah that has now come, and he will go before him in the spirit and power of Elijah, rather of John the Baptizer, to turn the hearts to the fathers, to the children, and the disobedient to the wisdom of the just, and to make ready for the people, for the Lord, a people prepared. And part of that aspect that you show forth in the type of example that you give to this congregation is your preparedness. But also we see that this is involved to all Christians alike. When we look at 1 Peter 3 and verse 15, Peter says there, "In your hearts honor Christ the Lord as holy, always being prepared to make a defense to anyone who asks you for a reason for the hope that is in you, yet do it with gentleness and respect." When we go back to 1 Timothy, the third chapter, and we look at verse 3, it says, "Not given to wine." And the true thought that comes about from that is not behaving in a beastly way, as wine makes one that is drunken do. This is also an admonition that is given to all Christians in Ephesians 5 and verse 18, and also to older women in Titus 2 and verse 3. Going back to 1 Timothy 3, there in verse 3 also, and this is a reading from the English Majority Text version, "An elder is not to be a bully, not ready for a blow, not pugnacious, not contentious, not quarrelsome." And this, as we see in Titus 3 and verse 2, "To slander no one, to be peaceable, gentle, demonstrating all meekness to all men." All Christians are to have this attitude also. But not for the elder in particular, to a greater extent, in which they are not confrontational. When we go back to 1 Timothy 3 and verse 2, we see also that they are not to be greedy for money, of which it is said of all Christians in 1 Timothy 6 and verse 10, "For the love of money is the root of all evils, of which some aspiring have strayed away from the faith in their greediness and pierced themselves through with many sorrows." When we go back to 1 Timothy 3 and verse 3, it says that elders are to be gentle, that is, patient and mild and appropriate. And I think about Philippians, the fourth chapter and verse 5, not only in connection with elders, but in connection with each and every one of us. And there it says, "Let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand." And I like the comment that Bingle gives on this. And he renders the verse this way: "Let your sweet reasonableness be known to all." Such a statement that is made there, especially in connection with elders, that there is reasonableness that is to be made. There is not in any way any sort of example that is set forth where one might even take from their words that they don't have the concern for all souls, not only those of the flock, but for those that are of the world, because they recognize that Christ Jesus died for them. We see that in 1 Timothy 3 and verse 3, elders are to be gentle and also not quarrelsome. And that is in connection with controlling their anger. Evangelists are to be in the same aspect in connection with this, but also all Christians are. In Titus, the third chapter, verse 1 through 3, "Remind them to be submissive to rulers and authorities, to be obedient, to be ready for every good work. Speak evil of no one. Avoid quarreling. Be gentle and show perfect courtesy toward all people." We see then that there is a higher standard with those that are serving among us, and rightfully so, because what they do is set forth for us an example that we are to follow. And if they set forth an example that doesn't show the love, care, and concern not only of the members that are here at this place, but for all souls, well, then also the flock will follow after that and have the disregard for those that Christ Jesus died for, which they should not. But you see, elders are not only held to a higher standard, preachers are held to a higher standard. And when we look over in 2 Timothy, the second chapter, 4th chapter, beginning in verse 2, here you have the message then that is given by the old preacher, Paul, to the young preacher, Timothy. And he gives the admonition to this young preacher, says, preach the word. And I like the wording of the contemporary English version here in the next part. Do it willingly, even if it isn't popular, even if it isn't a popular thing to do. And that is an admonition that is given of a higher standard to those that would stand before people and preach the word, not with the thought in mind, will this make them happy, but rather, will this edify them? Will it benefit them? Preach the word, be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. And then when we look in 2 Timothy 2 and verse 15 in connection with preachers, because again, Paul is giving instruction to the young preacher. He says, do your best to present yourself to God as an approved worker who has nothing to be ashamed with. Again, this is the ISV this time, the International Standard Version. Handling the word of truth with precision. And I believe that preachers need to take a look at that verse and make proper application in their own preaching and teaching before those that they stand and deliver God's word to. And they're not so concerned about how bright and shiny the presentation is, but rather, are they words that are being presented that will touch the hearts of those that need to hear them? Will they handle with precision God's word and not take things out of context? Will they spend the time in the study of God's word to understand it more than just then the delivery in the sermon? But also in that higher standard, preachers are to understand that they should appreciate criticism. James, the 3rd chapter, verses 1 and 2, my friends, we should not all try to become teachers. In fact, teachers will be judged more strictly than others. And I think contained within that thought there is the appreciation for criticism. If the preacher's heart is right, being held to a higher standard in preaching God's word, of which he is to handle with precision, correction when it comes, and sometimes, no matter how hard that correction is, should be appreciated, especially if something wrong is said. Because he wants to go to heaven and he doesn't want to lead anyone astray by the words that he speaks. But there's also the controlling of the tongue in connection with the preacher who is held to a higher standard as being one that speaks forth God's word. And we see that in verse 2 of James, the 3rd chapter. All of us do many wrong things, but if you can control your tongue, you are mature and able to control your whole body. And there the preacher is held to the higher standard. But preachers are not the only ones that are held to a higher standard. We also have in this congregation deacons. Deacons. And deacons are held to a higher standard, as we see in 1 Timothy, the 3rd chapter, verses 8 through 11. Follow along with me. Deacons also must be serious. And it certainly is recognized when you look at the context of the qualifications that are given concerning deacons there in 1 Timothy, the 3rd chapter, that they're not in a leadership role, but yet they are representatives and workers in the congregation that people look to as they are serving the Lord and serving the congregation. And they are to be serious about their work, and they are to be spiritual. As we come down to verse 9, it says they must hold firmly to the secret of the faith. And they are to be true workers and not just wearing a badge that says deacon. Romans the 12th chapter verse 6 and 7 says, having gifts that differ according to the grace given to us, let us use them. Verse 7, if serving in our serving, and the one who teaches in his teaching. Deacons are held to a higher standard. But deacons are not the only ones that are held to a higher standard. We also see each and every member of the Lord's body is held to a higher standard. When we look over in Romans 12 verses 3 through 6, Paul says, for by the grace given to me, I say to everyone among you not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think with sober judgment, each according to the measure of faith that God has assigned. For as in one body we have many members, and the members do not have all the same function, so we, though many, are one body in Christ, and individually members one of another. We are held as Christians to a higher standard because we are of the body of Christ. We are representing Christ Jesus himself, being in that relationship to him. And we do so by our work, and we do so by our attitude. And in connection with those of us that are not Christians, think about this from the standpoint of not murmuring. Remember what happened to Israel as soon as they were released and went across on the other side from their bondage. And one of the first things they did was murmur against God and against Moses. Listen to the words of the Hebrew writer in connection with this about the submission that we are to show to those that are our elders. Hebrews the 13th chapter and verse 7. Remember your leaders, those who spoke to you the word of God, consider the outcome of their way of life and imitate their faith. And we start to see how all this ties together in connection with being held to a higher standard. Elders, you are to be imitated. You need to ask yourself the question, am I acting in a way? Am I conducting myself in a way where I would want everyone in this congregation to be exactly as I am? Look at verse 17 of Hebrews the 13th chapter. Obey your leaders and submit to them, for they are keeping watch over your souls as those who will give an account. Let them do it with joy and not with groaning, for that would not be of no advantage to you. It's really foolish to murmur against elders, and here's the reason why, congregation. We recognize them. We gave our approval for their appointment. If we come back and murmur against them in saying they don't know what they're doing, they're not doing the right thing, it's really accusation on our own judgment concerning them. And so we should follow them in submission. We should follow them because we are all, as Christians, held to a higher standard, and each and every one of us are held to that standard for a reason. And it relates right back where Doyle read to us this morning. 1 Corinthians, the 6th chapter. Think about what he said there in verse 15. Know ye not that your bodies are the members of Christ? Verse 17. But he that is joined unto the Lord is one spirit. Verse 19. What? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit which is in you, which you have of God, and you are not your own? Verse 20, you are bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which belongs to God. And there you have the reason for the higher standard. When we conduct ourselves, elders, deacons, preachers, and members, in a way in which we understand that higher standard that is there for us, we begin to recognize and to appreciate the type of life that we live, and therefore we show it forth. Consider with me 1 Peter the 2nd chapter, beginning in verse 9. And here Peter is talking about Christians in general. And he says, you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a called out people, that you should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into the marvelous light, thus the higher standard. And you look at the terms that are used in connection with each and every one of us. Not just a generation, but a chosen generation by God. Not in connection with the age that we're living in, but rather in the things that we do. Not just a priesthood, but a royal priesthood. Because we have a royal high priest that is in heaven for us. Not just a nation, but a holy nation from the spiritual aspect. Not just a people, but a called out people unto the Lord, separate and apart, made so by that higher standard that has been given by God's word. And then think about this from verse 10. Which in time past were not a people, but are now the people of God, which had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. And there you have the reason for the calling. And there you have the reason for the higher standard that comes from God. But let me also say that there are others that are held to a higher standard. And I want you to consider this with me. There is the understanding here that is held to a higher standard. One that is not a Christian, but they understand what they need to do. One that knows what God's will is for them, but has not acted on it. They are held to a higher standard. Think about this from Matthew, the 7th chapter. Verse 24 through 27. Everyone therefore that hears these words of mine and does them shall be likened unto a wise man who built his house upon the rock. The rain descended, the floods came, the winds blew and beat upon the house, and it did not fall, for it was founded upon the rock. There you have really a standard that you are held to that is higher. Because you have come to a point of wisdom, of understanding of what God has done for you through Christ Jesus in giving His Son, who was nailed to the cross and sacrificed Himself and shed His blood and raised again the third day. You're held to a higher standard because you've come to that understanding of what God would have you to do. You are at a higher standard than any others that are separate and apart from God's will because you know that you need to hear God's word. That not only that hearing, but you also recognize there's a need for repentance, a change of life. You've come to a point of higher standard. You're not like everyone else in the world. You've been hearing God's word and it's starting to have an effect on you. You are held to a higher standard because you know that you need to name the name of Christ Jesus and confess Him before men. And that you are to be baptized for the remission of your sins. You're held to a higher standard. Jesus went on in this particular thought here in Matthew, the 7th chapter, and looked at the opposite aspect beginning in verse 26. And everyone that hears these words of mine and does not do them shall be likened unto a foolish man who built his house upon the sand, and the rain descended, the floods came, the winds blew and smote upon the house, and it fell, and great was the fall thereof. If you are understanding here, you understand both aspects, and if without acting upon the call of the gospel, you understand that in that condition there is nothing but failure for you. But your understanding will bring you forth into obedience if you will allow it, and you'll be the wise one. You're held to a higher standard. There are those that are walking about that don't even have the desire to listen to God's word. This day they're doing something else other than coming and breaking open the bread of life. They're doing something other than that which is glorifying God on this day. They're doing something other than wanting to know what they must do to be saved. But you're here. You're held to a higher standard because you have that understanding. You have that desire. And to not act upon it, you also understand that you're in a precarious situation because there are no absolutes in this life. Matthew, the 13th chapter, verse 23, this is the explanation that Jesus gave of the parable of the seed and the sower. And coming down to verse 23, after he had talked about the others that heard the word of God, some in which allowed Satan, that is the influences of the world, to carry them away, some that had an immediate response to it but didn't have depth of understanding and knowledge, and some that just didn't care. He says this in verse 23. As for what was sown on good soil, this is the one who hears the word and understands it. He indeed bears fruit and yields, in one case 100-fold, in another 60, and another 30. For each and every one of us today, we're held to a higher standard. Elders, you're held to a higher standard. The things that you express, the things that you say, the things that you do is a direct example of what you would have this congregation do. This is the way that we would, that the elders are saying, and the way that we are acting and living and showing forth what it is to be a child. This is the way we want each and every one of this congregation to be. Preachers are to preach God's word without the thought of, will it make them happy? But with the thought of, will it edify them? Will it spiritually strengthen them? Deacons, in the life that you live, you show forth your love, care, and concern for Christ Jesus by the work that you perform. And if you're not working, you're not living to that higher standard. And members, each and every one of us, we are part of the body of Christ. We're held to a higher standard because of that. And to the understanding here, put off no longer becoming a child of God. Confess this day Christ Jesus, make a commitment to Him, be baptized for the remission of your sins. Stand in that higher standard of which you are. If there are those that we can help in any way, we ask you to come as we stand and sing.
There's a line there.